Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Hello.
All right, guys. We are back. There is some wackadoo things to talk about. I'm going to prove this week, I promise, in the second story, I'm going to prove that conservatives don't actually understand America. They don't get it. They don't get it. And much like movies that have like subtext, conservatives don't understand the subtext of America or what America is supposed to be. They are all text all the time, and they're not even good at that. So, but I'm going to prove it in the second story. It's really interesting. And it's not my original idea, by the way. I did see someone else make this point, but I'll go further in it. All right. So right off the top, the Mark Meadows text messages, Brad.
Yeah, I saw this hit my feed earlier this week, and I've been meaning to carve out some time to check it out, but I've not been able to. So I'm going to learn with all of you listeners as Jay takes us through the text messages.
Oh boy! So White House Chief of Staff or former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, his text messages, or I guess the vast majority of them, were given over to the January 6th committee, which we already knew. However, Talking Points Memo is a website, by the way. If you don't read them, you should. Like, they actually do good independent reporting. They got their hands on a large trove of these, right? Someone sent them to them. They get leaked to them. Of course, they verify that they're real and everything else, blah, blah, blah. Okay? That's not the big point. The big point here is that in these text messages that they posted, Mark Meadows was exchanging text messages with 34 Republican members of Congress in the days after January 6th and before January 20th, before Biden's inauguration, about how to overthrow the election. Like, so it's not in the like January 4th or like, like early on, where then they're like, well, we're discussing these ideas. And then January 6th happened. And they're like, oh, step away from that. No, the 6th has already happened. Like, some of these text messages, I believe, are from the 17th. So literally 11 days. Yeah, January 17th, 3 days before Biden is to take office. And there, and you have Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, quite literally tweeting or texting Mark Meadows, Mark, in seeing what's happening so quickly and reading about the Dominion lawsuits attempting to stop any meaningful investigation, we're at a point of no return in saving our republic. Our last hope, in capital letters, is invoking martial law. Like, I guess that's like the guy from Virtual Fighter.
It is. Either that, or he wanted Trump to enact a plan of sending like supplies and resources to like Europe, I guess. Like,
the Marshall Plan.
Invoke the Marshall Plan.
We need the Marshall Plan. That's you're bad at history. So yeah, he wanted to invoke martial law. Of course, everyone is making fun of him. Yes, martial and martial law is M-A-R-T-I-A-L, you moron. but invoking
not the first Republican to make that mistake. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene did the same.
There's a number of people who did. Yeah. Look, she thinks things go on a peach tree dish. Okay. Like, this is
true. Knows.
She ain't the fucking brightest. But he says, please urge the president to do so, in all capital letters. And if you're unaware what martial law is, basically you'd basically clear the streets and have the military take over. Right. You would put the country under basically a military occupation, right? No thanks. That's not good. That would be terrible. And again, this is 3 days before Biden is to take office. This is what.
Plus, how would that stop the Biden inauguration anyway?
It wouldn't, right?
Like, not clear on the specifics there from Jerry Norman.
Well, my guess is. In the minds of madness, which is where you have to delve into, like, they would invoke martial law, and then they would not allow the inauguration to happen.
Oh, is that in the Constitution, that if the country's under martial law, that you can't have an inauguration?
That's how it works, Brad. I mean,
weird. I mean, I'm surprised they know that, considering it's apparent they haven't read the damn thing. But you know,
they don't read. No. Much like those two Transformers in that first movie. I don't like to read. Like, get out of here. They're proud of that shit. They're dumb. Again, they wrote martial law as if it's a person. That guy wasn't my go-to guy in Virtual Fighter. I'm not going to lie. Or is that Tekken?
It's no, Tekken.
Tekken series, excuse me. Yeah, Tekken. All right.
Yeah.
No, in Virtual Fighter, I always chose the guy who was dressed like Marty McFly with the fucking, like the raft jacket on. One of the things that's the most interesting about all of these texts, but I mean, besides calling for martial law and stuff like that, is you get a real understanding that Republicans in Congress truly believed all the wackadoo conspiracy theory shit. Like, they weren't just, hey, man, like, our constituents believe this shit, so, like, we'll go, the president, blah, blah, blah. No, they actually were, like, sending Meadows, like, links to websites, like, here's a YouTube page that's got, like, this whole story about, like, the Ukrainians stole 50 mil, I'm not making this up, stole 50 million identities from Americans and then somehow voted. Oh, how? Okay, is that why Russia's at war with them? Like, what are you talking about? There was a whole thing with, like, the Italian government was involved. I forget which person it was. It was like, hey, man, why don't we just call up the Italian government and find out what they were working on with this? And it's like, yeah, you know, our Mark Meadows didn't respond to that because that's crazy. Like, that's insane. And he was like, I'm not going to call the Italian government for this.
I will say that it does seem like Mark Meadows is the guy that, like, gets the ridiculous text from his friend and just kind of, like, rolls his eyes and gives, like, the one word response. Like he seems like that dude.
Yeah, look, I get it. I would too. It was Freedom Caucus Chair Scott Perry wanted to talk to the Italian government. Like, hey man, I heard on some, like, fucking rando website, you know, like, why don't we do this? Like, this is absolute fact. And look, somebody made the point, which I thought was a good one. How did they square this circle? Like, they're hearing all of this, like, conspiracy stuff, but some of them get intelligence briefings. Like, you have more access than some Yahoo on YouTube, like us. And you're like, no, I'm going to go with the Yahoo. For facts, not opinions, for facts. Like, that's wild to me.
I'm also laughing. I got down to the Louis Gohmert message where he's basically, like, texting Mark Meadows to use Air Force One like an Uber, basically. Like, he's like, can you give me a lift down to Georgia?
No, they're weird, man. Like, they're weird.
Oh, shit's so funny.
But it really does go to show you that, like, the bullshit rhetoric and fake stories and fake news and all, it doesn't just permeate their base. It also permeates the members of Congress on this side. And what I have to wonder is, are notions of, like, Democrats, and I try not to lean into this, I really don't, because I feel like it might be just, I don't care that it's mean. Like, I like that it's mean. Like, but I care in whether it's truly accurate or if it were, like, looking at this correctly. But are Republicans literally just dumber than us? Like, Republican Congress members?
I don't think it's that. I think the problem is that, so, like, Republican Congress people are no dumber than, like, the average dumb person, or just really the average person, really. I mean, like, the average person is fucking dumb. I don't know if you realize this.
Yeah, no, average intelligence is not smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
But the difference is that those average people are elected to serve in high positions in government. It seems disproportionately on their side than on the Democratic side.
Well, but I mean, this is the thing we talk about all the time. You can't be stupid and get to national office as a Democrat. Like, you can't. Yeah. Or it's really hard to, like, correct, snowball people to make it all the way to be a senator or to be in
even
the House.
Even a House representative. Like I can't. I honestly can't sit there and name, like, a stupid House Democrat.
I can't.
One does not pop to mind immediately. Even the ones we don't particularly like don't purport themselves as idiots.
Right. I don't, like, there are definitely, like, blue dog-ish Democrats that I don't care for, but I wouldn't call them dumb. And look, that doesn't mean, and I'm not saying that all Republicans in Congress are stupid. Mitch McConnell's not dumb. He's incredibly fucking smart. He's a piece of shit, but, like, he's a strategic asshole, but he's smart. Like, right, he's an intelligent guy. I don't think Kevin McCarthy's an idiot.
I would even go as far as, like, Jim Jordan's not an idiot.
No,
Jim
he's
Jordan
not an
says
idiot.
A lot of ridiculous things, but he's not stupid.
No, I think Jim Jordan knows exactly what to say to rile his base. Right? Like, I think it's often very easy to conflate those two things. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, just saying, you know, what's going to get your base, like that red meat or whatever. Yeah, I don't think Jim Jordan is stupid. I think he's a vile person, but I don't think he's stupid. I do think Louis Gohmert is dumb.
Yeah.
Like legitimately dumb. I do think Marjorie Taylor Greene is legitimately dumb. I do think Lauren Boebert is legitimately dumb. I just, like, Lauren Boebert's literally talking about you need to, you know, we need to get rid of people because they are stopping fentanyl from coming into the country. Yeah. Isn't that their job? Like, what the fuck are you, what are you talking about? Like, if you said,
Yeah, what's the alternative you prefer, Lauren Boebert?
Well, we need to just stop it from coming to the border. Well, how can we stop it from coming to the border? It's outside of our border. Like, what the fuck do you want to do? It's not our problem to solve until it gets here.
Why hasn't Joe Biden invaded Mexico yet?
Right. Like, what are you talking about? Like, but again, I think those people are stupid. And, like, that's why it drives me crazy. I know why Republicans say it, right? Like, I know why Republicans, oh, Joe Biden is stupid or Barack Obama is stupid. No, you just disagree with them, right? Like, I disagree with Mitt Romney. I don't think Mitt Romney is stupid. Like, I don't. So, like, me saying that wouldn't hold water. I do think Trump is very dumb. I actually think he's dumb. But he does have an ability to manipulate and move people smarter than a lot of Republicans do.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's street smart. He's not he's not book smart. He's street smart.
No, he's never seen a book he likes. Maybe a Playboy. Like, no, and that's a magazine. Like, no, he's not a, and he doesn't read the articles, knock it off. So, like, but he's not a guy like reading briefings, learning about things. Like, he could never go toe to toe with Barack Obama on policy without using, because, like, you think about it, like, look at all of his debates and all the debates that Republicans say he won. It's all based on insult. It's not based on, like, him. And I'm not even talking about just debates with Democrats. I'm talking about primaries too. It's not based on, while his expert knowledge about a topic or whatever. It's just saying some wild shit that, like, gets the base jumping. Like, that's it.
Well, it's like when you hear people that worked in his orbit as the president, and, like, they talk about him after they grow a spine when they leave after they're not working for him. Like, they tell you that, like, he's not interested in learning anything. He's not intellectually curious.
That's a sign.
Which I feel like is
intelligence.
Which I feel like is a requirement to be not only the president, but just in federal, like, in a high ranking government position anyway. Like, you should want to learn about things.
Right. Because it's kind of your job, right? Like, you might get into, hey, I'm, you know, head of, you know, Department of Energy or whatever. But when someone figures out how to do nuclear fusion this week, you might want to be reading up on it. Right? Like, no one is expecting you to be an expert, but you might want to be able to talk about it intelligently when you go on television, which the Secretary of Energy has had to do, right? Like, it's a prime example of that. But yeah, like, these tweets, or excuse me, these text messages are wild. I find it fascinating that these guys really bought into this, like, wacky shit. Like, it's just amazing to me, but they really did. They don't have a single clue what reality is. There's a point someone made this week that said that 80% of the things that Republicans are mad about is just them finding out how reality works. I think that number is too low, to be honest.
I mean, case in point is the reaction, is the right-wing reaction to the whole Twitter stuff that we talked about last week, where they're just like, they're fucking like raging at, you know, the former leadership of Twitter for like banning all these accounts, stuff like that. I'm like, bro, like, you just learned how content moderation works. Like, that's literally what you're seeing in real time.
And it just goes to show you they don't live in reality.
Right.
They fundamentally don't. And again, I try not to bang on the, like, are we smarter than them type of thing, because it seems so tribal and silly. But, like, you guys were in government, and yet you were believing, like, you know, zerohedge.net bullshit articles based on no actual information. You were just believing it. And then you're not just believing it, which is also crazy, but you're messaging the chief of staff to the president and being like, we need to invoke martial law and upend all of democracy based on, you know, clownpenis.com's fucking article about, you know, voter suppression or stealing of the election. Based on nothing. Just based on just rhetoric and bullshit. Yeah, you shouldn't be in government. Those people, I think, are dumb. I do. I like, if you said, oh, well, maybe you're dumb and that's, you know, you're not as smart as them, I'd be happy to debate anybody that sent a text message like this. 100%. Yeah. I'd love to debate Marjorie Taylor Greene on policy. Sure.
And what's funny is half those guys only had a direct line to Meadows because he himself was the head of the Freedom Caucus in the House before he became the chief of staff. Like, if John Kelly was the chief of staff, like, half of these people would not have been able to get messages to such a important person.
No, he'd like, lose my number. Like, get out of here. And that's why they hated John Kelly too.
Right.
Like, they hated him because I think John Kelly was in the end kind of a dirtbag too. Right. Like, again, you're protecting a guy. Oh, I'm saving the country. No, you're not. You're not. Saving the country is exposing him. Like, not covering up his bullshit. But at the same time, like, he was a no-nonsense regular guy in politics. So to them, he seems like outlandish. It's like, dude, he's not outlandish. He's just like, hey man, maybe we shouldn't like be saying some wild shit on Twitter. Like, maybe we shouldn't be giving up national secrets.
Maybe you don't need to talk to this, you know, Q conspiracy theorist guy. Maybe you don't have, maybe you don't have a meeting with him.
They're like, he must be corrupt. Yeah. I mean, look, point of fact, right? This dude who, you know, stole, you know, billions of dollars from FTX, right? Mm-hmm. Republicans last week were saying, like, as FTX collapsed and everything else, this guy was a big Democratic donor, right? Mm-hmm. It's true. He was a big Democratic donor. He also was a big Republican donor.
Yeah.
But he did
and
all
he's
his
like, no one knew because dark money's a thing.
Right. And Republican he was like, I gave pretty much the same amount to both sides, right? Look, that's what rich people do. You play both sides against the middle, right? Like,
you do, because you never know who's going to be in power from one cycle to the next.
Right.
And so you want to make sure you're in good with everybody.
Yeah. Exactly.
Every corporation does it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, that one corporation's wokeified. No, they're trying to make money. Like, that's their whole point, right? I get it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I get it. So he had donated to both sides, right? Republicans said, oh, he only donated to Democrats, right? Because the Democrats don't use dark money like that. So it was easy to see that he donated, right? So whatever. They were making the narrative that the Democrats didn't have him arrested. The Justice Department didn't arrest this guy because he's a Democratic donor and they were just going to let shit rock. Well, he got arrested.
Yeah.
And now they're like, they immediately switch to, well, they're arresting him because he has secret information on the Democratic Party that they don't want to let out.
And he was about to testify.
Right.
To Congress.
Pick a fucking bullshit theory and stick with it.
Is this convenient? I'm like, they're the ones that called him to testify. like it's not.
Right.
Like actually, I saw Matt Iglesias. He's like, there's nothing about this that is convenient at all to them. Like, they wanted to talk to him. They're the ones that are holding the hearing.
Yeah.
Idiots.
They don't want him to do it. Like, what? Like, it doesn't even make sense, but it doesn't have to. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not even so much that I think that Republican Congress people are dumb. And I do, but I do think some of them are. Not all, but I do think some of them are. But I also notice that they clearly think that their constituency is dumb. Like, that is obvious because they say shit like that because they know they won't check. They won't verify anything. Because if you verified, you'd be like, well, why are you taking both sides of the of this topic?
Not only if you verify it, like the Sam Bankman-Fried point that you just raised, like, you don't even have to verify it. You just have to put both statements against one another and just compare them and realize, wait a second, these two things are mutually exclusive. They can't both be true. What the fuck?
But conservatives are like, nah, these are our guy. So, yeah, look, as far as Congress members go, yeah, I don't think they're as smart as Democrats. I just don't.
I don't think that's an argument that you need to really persuade anyone listening to this show.
No, I know, but I'd like to, the holidays are here. I like to give people ammunition when they're sitting down to eat turkey, man, across from their conservative uncles or whatever.
and this nicely segues into the next story that you have on the docket, because there's another, lots of other examples. Jay, did you know that there's a whole lot of, experts among us, unbeknownst to me, about the intricacies of international prisoner exchanges?
Nothing amuses me more than when conservatives and neoprogs cannot stick to a point to save their lives. This is a problem. Problem gets solved. Do you want to talk about how we solved the problem? Nah. We've already moved.
We're going to talk about how we didn't solve it. We didn't solve it good enough, damn it.
Yeah. Or just move the goalposts. It's like,
yeah,
put some wheels on that goalpost, ladies. We got to go. Like, but that's what they do. You know, again, that the idea of the horseshoe theory is very true, because those two groups, neo-progressives and conservatives, do the exact same thing over and over again. And it's more annoying when neo-progs do it, because they pretend to be on our side. You're not. You're on no one's side. And you're not on helping anyone. You're in the zone of bitching and or complaining. So the Brittany Griner story, for folks who don't know, two-time Olympic gold medalist, I believe, WNBA star, was playing basketball in Russia, and she got arrested for having a CBD vape pen. Which in Russia apparently is like the worst thing you could do, which is funny because it's Russia. Okay. The fucking kleptocracy of the world, I would argue. They're really worried about CBD. That's what's really going to ruin the country. So they arrested her mostly just because she's American and she's a lesbian. She's married. And she's black. So it's like, down the ballot.
Yeah, you're hitting the fucking the parlay's hitting like crazy
over, yeah, over it's like Russia
right now.
American gold medalist, woman, yeah,
celebrity,
black
lesbian.
They're like, arrest her twice. Hell yeah.
Arrest her for having a vape pen and put her in prison for 9 years is what they sentenced her to, I think.
Yes. Which is insane. That happens, right? And, you know, the Biden administration had been working overtime to try to get her out. I do want to point out, as a side note, I would argue our greatest military asset, one Vin Diesel had tweeted, I would like to see Brittany Griner home before Christmas. And guess what? It happened. He got his team together and went over there and got her.
I blame Vin Diesel for not tweeting that sooner. Where was he 6 months ago? Then,
I mean, yeah,
thought it was all about family.
I mean, it was like 2.5 months ago, dude. Like, it is kind of wild. Like, it's kind of a wild tweet, and it'd be like, nah, it was like before Christmas, and we're like, okay, Vin, no problem.
We're on. Shit, Vin Diesel said it.
And like, Vladimir Putin's like, all right, I love those movies.
Right, like, if we don't do it, like, the next Fast movie is going to be him driving through the Kremlin. Like,
like, we don't need that kind of publicity. Let her go. So the Biden administration had been working overtime to try to, like, work a deal, right, to get her home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they eventually got a exchange, a one-to-one exchange with her and, what's this dude's name, Victor Bout. mm-hmm. who most famously is the guy the movie Lord of War is based on with Nicolas Cage, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Right? He's a gun runner and what have you. Now, that's great. And here's where I'm going to prove to you before I get into the, oh, but what about Paul Whelan and all this other bullshit that people pretend that they super cared about for so long? We'll get there. But I'm going to prove to you real fast in how I know conservatives don't actually get the subtext of what America is supposed to stand for. The argument from the conservatives has been Brittany Griner is a WNBA star, and we traded her for a gun runner, right? A very famous gun runner. You know, that's an unfair trade or whatever. Here, and again, this is not a point I made originally, but I've seen it made, and I think it's an excellent one. The reason why we would trade the gun runner for a basketball star is because we value people, period. Not just who what they can do strategically for America. Mm-hmm. Russia's priority is to get a gun runner, right? Our priority is to get an innocent black woman home because she didn't do anything wrong. That's the point of America, right? You're supposed to not just go after, and look, I'd like to see Paul Whelan come home too. Not as clean of a character as conservatives would like him to be painted, but even, mm-hmm. even still, that's irrelevant. I still like to see him come home, right? But the point is, it shouldn't – what are we trading, one gun runner for another gun runner? No, we yeah. are trying to get an innocent person home. And the right is very transparent in their – one, their misunderstanding of the reason you do that. But it also is very apparent to me that that you're mad that she's coming home because she's a black lesbian. Mm-hmm. That has everything to do with it.
Not a white man. And you're leaving and a white man in a Russian
right.
prison.
Right. Just say you hate her because she's a black lesbian. Don't try to pretend that you give a fuck about prisoner exchanges, right?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is the fundamental. You don't give a fuck about Paul Whelan, right? Because they're like, oh, Trump, Trump would have gotten him out. Like, Trump could have gotten him out. And Paul Whelan's brother was like, yo, he mentioned my brother one time when someone asked him a question.
He had 2 years to do it.
Yeah, he didn't do shit.
And I saw the argument.
No, he had 4 years. Oh, yeah, that's right. He got kept.
He had 2 years. It's 2018. Yeah. And I saw other folks also come out. They're like, I can't believe we gave back someone so dangerous and so notorious. I'm just like, first of all, like, if you're trading to get someone of celebrity, like, you're going to have to give a bigger name back. Like, there's kind of how that works, number one. And number two, he had served 14 years of a 21-year prison sentence.
Yeah, he getting out anyway.
Yeah, like he's going to be out in a couple of years regardless and then back on the plane to Russia.
Yeah, it's a piss poor argument. But yeah. but the other thing was Russia had made a deal. They proposed a deal. They were like, "Listen, you can have Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan back, mm-hmm. but you have to give us Vadim Krasikov, right? Who is being held in a German prison, right?" Mm-hmm. And Germany was like, bow, right here, fuck off. we're not giving you Krasikov. And Krasikov is a straight-up assassin, right? Mm-hmm. He killed – Krasikov is an assassin who murdered a Chechen fighter in a park in broad daylight in Berlin in 2019, a brazen killing that the German authorities say was committed at the behest of the Russian intelligence services. So, no, Germany's like, we're not giving up a dude who straight up murdered somebody, like, outright during the day, gave no fucks. And so, Russia was like, all right, cool, you don't want to give up Krasikov? We're not giving you Paul Whelan, right? We can talk about this Brittany Griner thing, but we're not giving up Paul Whelan, right? Because they think Paul mm-hmm. Whelan was a spy. Which, by the way, I don't think Paul Whelan was a spy at all. But when you read people's comments, they're like, why didn't we get Paul Whelan instead? That's not how negotiations were. You don't go, hey, Russia wasn't like, hey, would you like the basketball person or the former military guy? And we were like, we love basketball. So that's not how it worked. They did not offer Paul Whelan as an exchange for Victor Bout. They offered Brittany Griner and we could get Brittany Griner, so we took it. And again, like you said, he already served 14 years of a 21-year sentence. It doesn't fucking matter anyway. Like, mm-hmm. it just doesn't matter. But again, if we're not, we can't force Germany to give up Vadim Krasikov. Also, we shouldn't give up Krasikov at all. Fuck that. Die in prison, my dude. Is Paul Whelan going to get out eventually? I don't know. So let's talk about Paul Whelan. Paul Whelan is former Marine, I believe, and was dishonorably discharged for stealing $10,000 from the military. And so he was dishonorably discharged, and then he became a merc, right? He became a mercenary working for one of these government contractors or whatever. And then he was over there in Russia, and he got his ass pulled up. And they thought he was spying. Now, does that mean I think that Paul Whelan should stay in a German gulag? Or, excuse me, a Russian gulag? No. Paul Whelan should come home. I don't think that he's actually a spy. But that's not what was offered to the Americans. So stop making the argument that we should have done XYZ for Paul Whelan. That wasn't an option. And you're just saying that because you cannot give Joe Biden credit for doing something that you wanted done a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. We got to save Brittany Griner. And the Biden administration was like, we're working on it. They kept their fucking mouth shut, and they buckled down and they did the work and they got her out. And immediately your response is, that's not good enough. What about this other guy? I never heard the name Paul Whelan from a single fucking person when they were yelling about, we need to get Brittany Griner out. Not a single fucking word about Paul Whelan. Nothing. I'm sure there were some people being like, hey, they should also work on that. And that's fine. But the vast majority of you motherfuckers, you didn't even know who Paul Whelan was until this fucking article came out.
And meanwhile, like, Paul, like, you know, of course, reporters went to, like, Paul Whelan's family to get their, like, thoughts on it. They're like, this is great. Like, I'm so happy for the Griners. Like, this is amazing. Like they, you know, it's great that she's coming home. Like, obviously, we'd like to appall him too, but... You know, at the same time, like, they did the best they could do. Like, even they understand, like, this isn't simple. Anything in foreign politics is ever simple, especially when you're dealing with an adversary.
Right.
Like, exactly. it ratchets the complications up tenfold.
Right.
Like, it's complicated enough when you're dealing with an ally.
Right. And it's just like, again, we tried to work with Germany. We're like, well, what about the Krasikov? They were like, no. And we're like, all right, bet. Like, we just got to move on because there's nothing you can do. And those are our allies, right? But they tried. So, like, this idea of like, oh, you could just get it done. No. Trump didn't get it done. He didn't even try because Whelan's brother was like, yo, he didn't even try to get my brother out. Yeah. He gave no fucks to try. He didn't care. Like, he probably thinks, this is the same guy who thinks people who get captured are losers.
If he was best bros with, you know, Vladimir Putin, you know, you think it would have been easy, right?
Yeah, just call him like up. That, like, hey, dude, what's up?
Yeah. I don't even need to give you anything. Like that's how good of a deal maker I am. Like, I'm just like, hey, you know, Paul Whelan's, he's a terrible golfer. He's going to embarrass your country if you leave him over there. You should just bring him back to America. And Vladimir Putin's like, yeah, sure. Whatever.
Yeah, we're best bros.
It's that easy.
I mean, the funny thing is, if Vladimir Putin was, if he was of the mind to just, like, make Trump, like, this awesome president, he could have given him Whelan. Mm-hmm. He could have given him Whelan right before the election. And it probably would have helped Trump a lot.
Sure.
I mean, no offense, but, like, it's not like any of you knew who Paul Whelan was, really. So maybe it wouldn't have done as well. But it certainly would embarrass Democrats. Mm-hmm. Of like, look, man, I'm the one who came. Like, yeah, this guy got captured, and I got his ass out. That's what a fucking president does. But, like, it's weird that Putin clearly wanted Trump to be president, you know, likely helped directly in getting him to become president, and then just was like, just let him flail, which is just hilarious.
It's interesting you think him doing that would have been helpful because as we've learned with many presidencies, international, anything you do, foreign policy, doesn't fucking matter even.
No, that's true. That's true.
Ever.
I mean, fuck, Obama got Osama bin Laden and people were just like, but he didn't do it. The military did. And it's like, oh, this is the new argument we're making. Anytime it happened for any other president, it was their accomplishment. Amazing.
Cool. What's Obama's military rank, by the way, technically? What's his title? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't count, right? Like, no one listens to the president in the military. That's crazy. So, yeah, no, I don't. Again, Republicans don't understand the subtext of what America is. And they don't understand why you would free an innocent person to, you know, trade an innocent person for a gun runner. Because we care about the innocent people in our country, not just for what they can do for us strategically in the military. That's not the point.
Dude, this is just another log on the raging Burning Man-esque bonfire that is Republicans don't understand fundamentally what America is. Like just another log to throw to the mix.
it's just a growing bonfire. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Speaking of a human bonfire, Kyrsten Sinema, she has decided to leave the Democratic Party to dress like a buffoon as an independent. Okay. I mean, here's the thing. To quote, you know, to paraphrase Stephen A. Smith, I'm here to tell you, we don't care. we don't care.
Because it doesn't fundamentally change the state of play. Like, she's going to continue caucusing with the Democrats. So basically, stop me if you've heard of this before. Kyrsten Sinema is going to caucus with Democrats and be a huge pain in the ass in a narrow majority Senate. Shocking.
Duh.
the actual reason that she did this is because she can read a poll, and she realized that if she ran in a primary election in 2024 in the state of Arizona as a Democrat, she was going to get her ass blown out of the water.
This is
the only thing that she can do to ensure that she can reelected, but to have a chance to get reelected, because now what she's doing is playing a game of chicken with Arizona Democrats in a state that is going to be tight anyway, and is now a must-win state. And arguably, if the Democrats run their own primary candidate and Sinema runs and a Republican runs, then the Republican is probably going to win the general election, because you're going to be splitting votes between the Democratic challenger and Kyrsten Sinema.
Is that what you think is going to happen, or are you thinking that's a chance?
I think that's her calculus.
Oh, her calculus.
Yeah, I think that's her calculus. I don't know. Yeah, but I say I don't know. Like, her favorables are really bad in Arizona, like really, really bad. And I could see a world where not like Democrats do galvanize behind, like, Ruben Gallego is probably the most likely person, at least in the early goings, to run for that. And I think Kyrsten Sinema will definitely snipe a lot of Democratic votes, but she will also pull some moderate Republican votes as well, because especially if the Republicans nominate a trash fire MAGA candidate, like what if Carrie Lake runs for Senate?
Dude,
or what if Blake? Or worse, arguably for them, what if Blake Masters runs again?
Again. The Blake Master 9000.
that dude was the lowest performing Republican in a statewide race. He lost by like 6 points.
And the
RNC invited him to help them with the autopsy of the 2022 election.
The call is coming from the cadaver itself. I feel like maybe we made a mistake. Oh, what was the mistake? Running me and others like me. Yes, we know. You're fucking weird, man. Also, he holds a microphone very strangely. It's like if you clone Peter Thiel, like when you get like 9 clones out, like the clone is just messed up.
He's the defect clone.
Yeah, he's a defect clone. He's like, I'm still Peter Thiel. And it's like, No, I don't know what's happening. I think it's broken.
Smother this one with a pillow outside. Like, I don't want to do that.
On my pillow? Look, I think her calculus is wrong. I think her unfavorables are incredibly high with Democrats. I think she's not going to garner. If she gets 3% of Democrats, I would be shocked to know that. However, I think that once One, I don't know what Arizona's like voting style is, right? So I don't know if Arizona is like a jungle primary or like an open primary.
No,
or...
they have party primaries.
Oh no,
they've closed. She's fucked.
Because at that point, when people go to the poll, they are going to vote for a Republican or they're going to go vote for a Democrat.
No. But I'm saying she's not even going to run in the primary. I don't think. Like, I think she's going to run in the general. Yeah, I think she just runs as a third party candidate.
No. And to me, then it doesn't matter, right? I think she's fucked either way because
I don't think that she thinks that she could win a three person race. I think she's staring down the Democratic Party to be like, I dare you to run someone against me. Because it's like the prisoner's dilemma. Like, if you run somebody, we're both going to lose to a Republican. And you don't want that. So maybe you just have to let me run my race and do all that shit.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. Here's what you do. Hey, Democrats. Pretty easy plan. You keep doing what you're doing right now. And you embarrass her ass every chance you get for the next couple of years until 2024, right?
But the problem with that is, from a national standpoint, you still need her vote, though.
You do on some things, right? Because it's a 50, it's a 51-49 Senate. You got the vice president.
You do, but then you have to play the Joe Manchin game again. like if you just ignore her for shit, like, you have to, like, now Joe Manchin once again the most powerful person in the United States, but they still
will be either one of them. But at least Joe Manchin caucuses with the Democrats, guaranteed, right?
Or it is a Democrat. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Kyrsten Sinema is to the right of Joe Manchin at this point. We said that a couple months ago.
Yeah, she
during
is,
a lot of this process,
which is wild to say. Like, the only other people to the right of Joe Manchin is the Republican Party, right? But at this point, if her goal is to sort of handicap you and to trick you into letting her run in 2024, no. I take that risk. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, cool. What have you done for Arizonans? Nothing right. in the six years that you've been, that's the thing,
I think your best play, again, is to call her bluff, is to run a Democrat in the primary. And when they win, like, you just have to fucking hope and pray that, like, the polls, like, show Ruben Gallego at, like, 40% and Kyrsten Sinema at, like, 12. And then you go to Kyrsten Sinema and be like, are you really going to fucking tank this for us, or are you just going to get the fuck out of the way? Because you're not going to win.
Yeah.
So get the fuck out of here.
I'm telling you, I think that if she runs... If she doesn't, I mean, I you're saying it's a closed primary, so I guess like she would just pop up in the general.
Mm-hmm.
No, man, I think people would be pretty hard lined. I think people are going to be hard lined and be like, no, fuck her. I don't think she gets 12%. I don't think so, but I do think you could see some Republicans vote for her if the person, like you said, is like a Kari Lake type of wackadoo MAGA person. If it is. And I could definitely see Kari Lake running for that seat 100% at this point. If it is, then I could see Republicans going, I'm not voting for her. At least the other chick was like kind of independent, as I recall. Mm-hmm. And I can't vote for the Democrat. Then I could see her garnering some not crazy support, like maybe 10% or something
not enough to win.
But then I could see someone like Ruben Gallego just fucking running that race like with no problems, right? And winning for the Democrats. But I think Democrats hate her guts. I think they largely hate her guts. And so I think the second they have a Dem who is not her, they're gonna go almost completely behind that person and be like, fuck that woman. I think to get her out of there, I think they absolutely, and look, all that person has to do, whether it's Gallego or somebody else, all that person has to do is be a true blue Democrat. Like, that's it. Just be like, look, man, I support the Joe Biden agenda, and I wouldn't fuck up policy. And they're like, that's 1,000 times better than what we had.
Look, Ruben Gallego has been loud and proud on the fuck Kyrsten Sinema train for at least the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's all you need. All right.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
So. I think that's all you need. So it should be interesting. I'm not surprised by this news. I mean, fundamentally, this comes down to pay attention to me, pay attention to me. You got this.
That literally is what it is all about. Yeah. For sure. I guess I'm a little surprised to see it still, like, cause you just don't really see it that often.
Yeah.
In this day and age anymore. You know what I mean?
It does not. Yeah. Oh, well, no, poor Kirsten. Get the fuck out.
She Democrat sucks.
Yeah, she is. Look, Democrat. Look, I saw AOC was like, somebody needs to run against her in Arizona, and like, a progressive Democrat. And people were like, well, I don't know about. I'm like, yo, AOC is 100% right. Put your boot on her back and push. Get the fuck out of office. You got to go. You got to go. Knock it off. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was at the New York Young Republicans Club this past Saturday, which is a Nazi rally. I mean, I don't know. You pick a name. It's not wildly different than that. She joked that if her and Steve Bannon had actually planned January 6th, they would have won. I'm not saying
that. What does that mean? What does that
kill
mean?
Kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, we would have successfully overthrown the government if me and Steve Bannon had planned it.
Right.
I would have pissed all over the Constitution that literally 3 days prior I had sworn to uphold and defend.
But I love this country, guys. I really, really do. So she says they would have won, and she was like, conservatives didn't plan this because we would have come to the Capitol armed. And I'm like, again, are you advocating that in order, like, if you were in charge, there would have been massive bloodshed and more people would have been killed with bullets?
Yes.
Cool. I'm so glad you're in Congress. That's a great place.
Not only so glad you're in Congress, but I'm glad that you are going to be a influential figure in this republic, in this current Congress, in this Republican caucus.
Because Kevin McCarthy is a fucking coward.
Yep.
So, interestingly enough, but look, I don't. I'm not a fan of the joking about killing people thing, because for them, it's not a joke.
Yeah, but say, spoiler alert, not a joke.
Yeah.
Not a joke. Trust me, they would have been happy to murder as many cops as they needed to if it meant that they would have been successful in their aims. Or congresspeople, for that matter.
Or congresspeople. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Or vice presidents.
There's a weird part of my brain that would love to see an alternative universe where that was successful. Right. Like, not that I want to see those people get hurt.
I'd much rather see the alternative universe where the cops acted like cops typically do in these situations.
Start firing on them immediately.
Just murdered them and just fucking killed those people. Right. Like, that would have been a more interesting universe, I think, to be able
to. No, like, I don't mean them taking over the government. I mean that, okay, they seize that building. Let's say they seize that building and, like, they weirdly hang Mike Pence. Not that I want that to happen. But, like, they hold all these Congress people, like, hostage and shit like that. What does the world look like then? Because, like, you don't think that the U.S. military would have just let that shit rock, do you? No. Like, they would have seized that building, dude. Like, it would have been a real fucking problem for you.
Yeah. Like, fucking Congress would have been surrounded by a platoon of Ed 209s, like 3 hours later.
Yeah. Like, I don't, I understand the chain of command in the military. I get it. And all that AJ squared away shit. I understand that. I don't think you're getting the military sitting by and letting that happen. I don't give a fuck who's in charge. I don't think Trump going, nah, nope. I think you would have had some serious people to go, yeah, this needs to be dealt with. We'll deal with the consequences tomorrow. Like, I don't fundamentally see them going, well, we're not getting the call, guys. No, because then at that point, they would have known they're being held up on purpose, right? Like, they're not being held up for some strategic thing. They're being held up because it's a coup. And it would be really interesting to know what the military, who were, like, ready to go in all of this, what they would have done. Like, I don't know. It would, it, like, there's a part of me that would love to know the sort of alternative history of all of that. But yeah, no, I'm 100% for the everybody gets treated like Ashley Babbitt situation. That universe, the Babbitt verse, if you will. Like, oh, well, he came through the door, pop, pop, like first shot. And it was like first, but not the fucking last. Everybody's getting killed. But yeah, it's amazing that they think that this is a thing to joke about. Like, you're still sitting on the cusp of possible criminal charges. Right? That's coming on Monday, they're saying now. Not Wednesday. The final report drops on Wednesday. They're saying criminal charges are dropping on Monday from the January 6th committee. I bet Marjorie Taylor Greene's on that list.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I bet she is. Because you're talking about all the people. You're not talking just about the people like John Eastman and Trump and stuff like that, which are 100% going to be on that list. Like,
you don't think this is just going to be the Trump criminal referral? You think that the committee is going to have to cast a wide net on this?
I think they don't have a second chance at this. And so if you're going to, you better nail it. And they still have more information than we have. They still do.
Right.
Which is wild. But I think if you're going to go for it, go for broke. You might as well get those referrals to the DOJ, pass whatever information you have to them, and go for broke. Like, if this is your last shot, don't fucking alligator arm it. Like, just put it out there just a little bit. No, fucking go for it. Because look, even if you don't nail it, but you're saying, like, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to be on that list. Even if you don't get her, put that shit in the document. Because she deserves to fucking be there. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. She was in Congress for 3 fucking days before January 6th. And then she's integrally a part of what the fuck had happened. Oh, you know, I don't know what's going on. Bullshit, you don't know what's going on. Why'd you ask for a pardon then?
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. You were involved. Anybody who asked for a pardon should be on that fucking list. All of them. Rudy Giuliani, absolutely on that list. So, but I think the two that you're going to see, the big names you'll see on there are Trump and John Eastman. I think are 100%. 100%. So, and Mark Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You getting that criminal. And you getting that, suggestion, buddy. So, good.
But I gave you all my texts.
They're like, wasn't enough. Let's see.
Yes, thank you for voluntarily handing over your the evidence against you.
Yeah, being voluntold to do it. But but you know, it was funny because Chris Hayes made a really good point this week that I had not remembered. When they got Mark Meadows' text messages, one thing that Kevin McCarthy did was he went on TV and was like, because January 6th was looking to get the telecoms to give up all the phone records and all of these other things from these members of Congress. Kevin McCarthy went on television and said that if any of them do it, they're violating the Constitution and that their contracts with the government will be pulled and all this other shit. And we're threatening the telecom companies. What the fuck does the telecom companies have that is so detrimental that you would go on TV to say that? Right? Because these are just texts. They have phone call records and they have all of this shit. Every call you make is recorded and documented in this country, 100%. You know, it's like, that's why Apple can unlock any phone and go back and AT&T can pull your messages if you're doing some criminal shit. They can do that. Like, you just have to know, like, don't do dirt. Like, look, drug dealers have figured this out a long time ago. Don't talk on the phone.
It's literally why the burner phone exists.
Yeah, don't talk on the phone, right? So, so this idea that there is more there is definitely more there. The question is, will that ever come out? Probably not, because you have to coordinate. Like, this has got to be a much heavier coordination. But you know who could get that information? The DOJ could get that information, and maybe they already have it. You don't know. It'll be interesting to see what those criminal referrals look like on Monday. But my guess, Trump and John Eastman and Meadows are top of that list. But I think Marjorie Taylor Greene should be there too. I mean, not just for that. She's just the worst.
Yeah, just existing. Don't breathe free air.
Yeah, we'd like to do a criminal referral on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why? Have you met her? Well, yeah. Just Google her, dude. Just Google it. Like, just underneath it just says Google that shit. It's like, just go read. Who cares? There's so many reasons. Next up, this is an interesting story. Ron DeSantis is your new Trump, I think. I think that's true. DeSantis tops Trump by 23 points amongst Republicans in new poll. 23 points. I would like to just point out for now, right? Like,
I'm about to say this. This poll in December 2022 is not worth the digital ink that it's printed on. It doesn't matter.
I mean,
here's
the thing.
Except that it's embarrassing to Donald Trump. That's the only reason it matters. Yes. And that makes me laugh.
Yeah. No, 100%. Right.
Yeah.
The second that debate happens, though, Ron DeSantis is in a world of trouble. You got to have some thick skin. Two, you got to be ready to take this guy on. And it's that's going to be a hard dance. 31% of the GOP want Trump and Trump alone. Like 31%. You winning that primary is going to be disastrous for your party.
Yeah.
You losing that primary, also disastrous for your party. He's fucked. Ron DeSantis is fucked. The only thing you can hope is that Trump comes out and he just, it seems old and just like, he's still banging on about 2020. And if he can't let that shit go, even in a debate, he's going to look pathetic and weak.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can figure out how to pivot to just kicking the shit out of Ron DeSantis, that's not going to work well for Ron. So in a USA Today Suffolk University poll found that 56% of Republicans and Republican-leaning voters prefer Ron DeSantis, while only 33% would support Trump. More than 60% said they want a nominee who will continue Trump's policies but is not Trump, while 31% want the former president to run. 60% want Trump's policies but not him. Disaster. Like, that means the party is officially done with you, dude. They're done. Mm-hmm. The question is, will Trump get it? No.
not even a little bit. Not ever.
No. No.
His ego is not formulated to bow out gracefully. Again, he should have never run. He should like that's honestly what it boils down to at this point. And I think he's only doing it with the hopes of evading criminal prosecution.
100%.
I don't think he would have done it if it wasn't for that.
I don't know why he would. But best of luck. It's going to be a fascinating primary. It really is. Like, people, Trump versus Biden, whatever. Like, that's not the race. This one is the race because they are going to be knives out, man. And Ron DeSantis has been real easygoing when it comes to, like, not mentioning Trump. Like, he tries not to. But you can't avoid him when he's standing on the stage. You can't not say anything about his policies. You can't avoid how he's done damage to the Republican brand or to the midterms. You can't. You can't just talk around him. He's too big of a figure, like, quite literally.
I've been the one that's saying, like, hey, like, this is DeSantis' time. If he's ever going to do it, like, this is the time he's got to do it. I also would not be at all. So, like, he seems like the type of guy that would be scared off by a Trump. Essentially, like by having like the prospect of having to run head to head against him.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be interesting because I really don't see Ron DeSantis as being like this strong, you know, tough.
No, he's going to wilt. I mean, like he's like, truth be told, he's not charismatic at all.
No.
He's quite wonkish for like a high ranking Republican. Like he talks about things in like a Hillary Clinton-esque manner, like sometimes, which is not attractive on the Republican side of the equation. No. And again, I have to reiterate, he's not charismatic at all. Like he's
that's
fucking
all they care about. But that's all they care right. about too. They don't give a shit about policy. They don't have policies. Right. I'll never forget Republicans getting mad at us during our debate covers, and they're like, why do you keep saying they don't have policies? Because they don't. You don't have policies.
Build the wall is not a policy. Sorry, it's not. No. It isn't.
We're still waiting on Trump's healthcare plan. We're still waiting on it.
Not just Trump's healthcare plan, just the Republican healthcare plan in general.
Well,
they've told us they've had one for 12 years.
Well, I mean, I, in fairness, Brad, I think that's being a little harsh. We know what their policy is. If you get sick, die fast. Hurry up.
Be rich or die in a hole somewhere.
You're right. Like, yeah, be rich or die. Not trying, just die. Like,
yeah, that's right.
That's it. They don't give a fuck about you. So yeah, like they don't have any policies. So it does come down to charisma. And you can say you're not for Trump now, but when he's dunking on Ron DeSantis and you're a Republican watching that debate, you're gonna be like, this DeSantis guy seems weak.
Well, and what's funny is that the policies that you would have to talk about to win a Republican primary aren't gonna play in the general. Like, you can't talk about CRT. You can't talk about, you know, like banning books from schools. You can't talk about wokeism. Yeah, you can't talk about any of that shit in a general election and expect to get support, because the average voter is going to kind of like look at you and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
like kids are peeing in litter boxes at school. Like, no, they're not. Like, I'm pretty sure my kid would have come home and said something about this.
Seriously pissing in a litter box, Dad. This shit. Yeah. That's not happening. But yeah, it's all those right wing conspiracies and everything else. It doesn't work in the general.
Yeah, it doesn't fly. We just saw.
It don't work. So, and then it really won't work in 2024, because that's a single person saying it, right? It's different when it's spread out across a bunch of races and you kind of tangentially hear about, oh, Carrie Lake said this wackadoodle thing, or, you know, Blake Masters, you know, pulled his, you know, showed his real robot face under the you know, the machine face. It's a 2 weeks over and over again, right? So, like, when you just catch a glimpse of those kind of things, they don't resonate as hard, like, unless you're in that state and you're like listening to Carrie Lake or, you know, whoever. But when it's a presidential campaign, Ron DeSantis is the only person you're hearing, right? In that primary, or Trump is the only person you're hearing from your side. If they're saying some wild shit, that will resonate with people and go, that guy's saying crazy shit and that other guy is not saying crazy shit. And that's all she wrote. That's all she wrote. But yeah, when you don't have any charisma in the Republican primary, you're in a world of trouble. Because I don't know who has more charisma than Trump right now as their people. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
So yeah. Best of luck, Ron. Best of luck.
Or anyone else that steps to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Heads you win, tails you lose. it doesn't matter. If you win, you still lose. If you lose, you still win. Like, for Trump, it doesn't matter. Well, like, it's actually Trump's game, right? Because if he wins, great for him. He's probably going to get wrecked in the primary or in the general, and everything's fine. But if he loses, oh, he's going to have a blast, because he still wins, because he's going to destroy the Republican Party and go, I fucking told you. This is my party. So, yeah.
I mean, I personally can't wait for Larry Hogan to run and then ballot by May. Like, that'll be pretty funny to me, personally. So.
Oh, I can't wait. He's over there trying to bring policy and reasonable behaviors. That's not the Republican Party that exists anymore. Get this nerd shit out of here, you dork.
And it's funny because I was listening to Matt Al the other day, and like, In a sane universe where analytics and just common sense mattered,
he would do fine.
Do you know who the three? Most popular governors in the country are right now?
They're all Republicans.
They're all Republicans in Democratic leading states,
yeah,
or strongly Democratic states, like Larry Hogan, Charlie Baker, Phil Scott, the three most popular governors, not Republican governors, governors. Period. End of story. In the country right now. All three of which are in traditional Democratic strongholds.
Yep.
Crazy.
And those
crazy
guys.
Why wouldn't you back people with those ideas and listen to those guys? Because they will help you win.
Yeah.
If winning is what you actually care about.
Yeah, but here's the thing. much like the crazy, shit from the primary won't work in a general.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney don't appeal. The Mitt Romneys and the,
yeah, normal shit ain't gonna work in a Republican primary.
It doesn't appeal. No, like, I'm not even trying to be an asshole. That shit doesn't appeal to Alabama Republicans. Alabama Republicans want to hear about how can we stop black people from marrying white people. Like, that's the kind of crazy shit they want to hear. So you can't bring sensibility to them. You just can't. Like, the Republican Party in the South don't give a fuck. Like, they want some wackadoo shit. So they're not trying to hear, like, Larry Hogan, like, well, if we all work together, shut up, nerd. Tell, you know, make fun of that guy's penis size. That's what I want to hear. Like, that's what they want. They want all
he looks like a frog. Get him off the stage.
Boo, hypno toad. Get out of here. Right? Like, they don't care about that. They are not policy people, man. They just aren't. Last but certainly not least, before we get into This Week in Stupid, on her way out, Oregon's governor, Kate Brown, has commuted 17 people facing the death penalty. Look, if you don't know what that means, it doesn't mean they're getting out of jail. Relax. She's just letting them go, everybody.
That's what I'm waiting for Republicans to immediately jump out. I can't believe she's releasing 17 death row inmates. Calm down.
That's not what's happening.
Calm down. That's not what that means.
Yes, it's commute. She's driving them. She's driving a car, and they're commuting right out of the jail into our safe neighborhoods. That's what's happening. So Kate Brown, who is on her way out, and as this also pointed out, she is she's an out proud lesbian, by the way. Kate Brown is commuting the sentence of 17 people facing death row. She's bisexual, excuse me, not lesbian.
Yes.
She says, quote, I have long believed that justice is not advanced by taking a life and that the state should not be in the business of executing people. Even if a terrible crime placed them in prison, this is a value that many Oregonians share. I'm not an Oregonian.
Oregonian is the correct the correct term.
Oregano. I'm not one of those people. But I do agree with her. The death penalty does not deter anyone from doing crimes. No one's like,
no.
Like, I would kill this guy, but I don't want the death penalty. No, people just do crimes. Like, they just do them.
To be fair, like, it's a weird, like, obviously very harsh penalty, literally taking someone's life. The problem with the death penalty is just the fact that there is literally no way to be 100% certain that somebody committed a crime unless, like, there were, like, you, the person trying them, watch them do it kind of shit.
Right.
But all things being considered, if I murdered a bunch of people and went to jail for the death penalty, like, I'd rather die than spend 50 years in prison, I feel like.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm not going to get out, you know?
Yeah, like, here's 300 years, you know, consecutive years you have to do. All right, just fucking take me up to the highest point in the building, throw me off. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
At that point. I do think, here's how I think the death penalty should probably work. I'm against the death penalty, for the record. I think if you get charged, you know, and they're like, hey, we're doing a death penalty, I think you should get to choose. I think you should get to choose. I don't think it should be, hey, man, like, we're going to give you an injection, or, hey, man, we're going to put you in an electric chair, which is fucking brutal and insane.
I can't believe there's still states that do that shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Just hook them up to a fucking car battery. What is this, Lethal Weapon? What the fuck are you talking about? Don't do that. Like, oh, it's 2022. Come on, man. We can do better than that. But I think you should, as the person, just like you get to choose your meal, I think they should give you an array of options, right? Like, not just anything, but they should give you an array of options, and you get to choose one of them. Yeah.
How intricate are we getting here? Like do we want to do like a Running Man style, like, hey, you could win freedom. Maybe.
I kind of like that. But, like, that's a very dystopian, fucked up.
You have to fight unarmed against an Asian guy on ice skates with like a bladed hockey stick.
Yeah, like, you goddamn right. Or Or a fat guy in a little car singing opera with a light bright as a vest. That or guy's Brown scary.
With a flamethrower.
Yeah. You're like, what is happening in this movie? God, I love Running Man. So I think like, for me personally, if they were like, oh, you're doing fucking 300 years, I'd be like, look, just give me the death penalty. And they're like, all right, you get to choose. And I'd be like, cool. I want to go into a plane. I want to be taken up like I'm doing skydiving. And then you just push me out. Or I jump out. I feel like I just panic. I probably pass out. And before I hit the ground, I just die.
Yeah. And even if you don't pass out, like, you're not going to feel it. Like as soon as you hit the ground, like, game over.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's insta death. And by the way, yeah. people's parachutes have not opened, and they've hit the ground and survived. If I hit the ground and survive, I'm free to go. Like, I feel like that's fair. I feel like that's fair.
I don't, Jay, I got to tell you, if you hit the ground and survive, I don't think you're necessarily moving.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta just let that guy go. Like,
I think you might just be slowly dying in a field from internal.
Oh, fuck. Come on, man. No, I feel like if I survive, like, you should give me the medical attention, not try to save my life, just get me out of there.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, scoop me up with what I would assume is something you would put liquid into at that point. Here, and just
we can take my body away. We can fix this to have no margin of error. Do it. Just make them jump over water. Then you're definitely done. There's no way you're surviving that.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I'm not mad at it. And in the ocean, right? Like, just straight up ocean, like shark infested waters, right? So, like, even if you live,
off chance that you don't die on impact, like, you're going to drown then. So it's all gravy.
Right. Well, you know what? Easy peasy. We fly this person off the coast of Madagascar. We drop him out of a plane. Guess what? There are Mako sharks in that water. Those things move incredibly fast. Even if you survive enough to go, I'm not going to drown. I'll just swim to Madagascar. Mako sharks will make sure that you don't make it there. So it's fine. So look, it's a three-prong process. But I think you should get to choose. That's my only thing. I think you should get rid of the electric chair, unless it's solar powered, just because I believe in the environment. And I think you should be able to choose. I think that's a fair thing. I think firing squad is barbaric and ridiculous. Only because you give one guy the bullet, everyone should have a bullet. Like, no, knock it off. You sign up for the firing squad, you got to live with that. Like, oh, was it?
What
me?
If you do? What if you do? Do they really do that? They only give one guy a real bullet.
Yeah, so you know, so no one knows.
So no, you don't actually know who fired the killing shot, essentially. Interesting.
Yeah. I love how they're
interesting, they, psychological.
Like, I love how, like, they're protecting the murderer. Like right. You're protecting the guy, the state sponsored murderer. Why?
That's an awful lot of confidence in the guy that has the bullet to be accurate.
Right.
Gotta say.
Yeah, you gotta be like a sharpshooter, man. And they're not like shooting you in the stomach. I assume they try to shoot you in the head.
I wonder how many people would pull like I wonder if like the Mussolini would be on the menu. Can you be hanged upside down and stoned to death by other people in jail? Like, is that a possibility? Is that an option?
I mean, I wouldn't choose that. Like, not for myself. Fuck that, dude. Like, what? No, that's horrible.
Maybe there'd be some religious nut that'd be like, give me the Mussolini or some like incredible fascist. He's like, you know, let's do it.
Like, give me liberty or give me death by hanging me upside down and being stoned enough. I'm going pushed out of a plane. Also, you could give him the old South American democracy, which is put him in a helicopter and then push him out.
I would ask for some kind of like elaborate James Bond thing, like pull it straight out of a Bond movie, because I already know how to get out of it.
And yeah, then we'd no, obviously. Good to go. Yeah, like how he's
seen them all.
Right, like you know what? Very easy. Like how he survived at the end of. No Time to Die, right? Like,
yeah.
I can't wait for the sequel. See how it gets out of that.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Keep waiting.
I watched it the other day. I was like, okay. This is what we're doing. All right, got it.
can't wait to see how old Jimmy Bond gets out of this one.
Maybe there was a hole he could jump into. Nope, nope. He's still standing there. Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy Bond. So, yeah. Look, helping out death row inmates, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, to be clear, like, it's not like she saved anyone from the fucking gallows or anything. Like, apparently Oregon hasn't executed anyone in 25 years. They've had a moratorium in place for the last 11. Right. So, but actually commuting the sentences is a nice official way to be like, hey, like, not only are you not going to be dying anytime soon, but you're not dying at all. Even if some crazy, you know, insane person comes in and be like, fuck this moratorium. We're killing people again. Woo. Let's go.
And again, I'm not sure what you think that's going to do for crime. You're just, no, it's just, just eye for an eye type of shit. And if you're supposed
to. Yeah, I mean, again, like literally, it's never gone through the head of anybody committing a crime to be like, I really want to commit this murder.
But yeah.
Fuck, if I do, they're going to send me to death row. Like,
I know it.
Shucks.
I know they're. Like, I know they're going to do it. Ah, I'll let you live. Like, no. That's dumb. Last but certainly not least, This Week in Stupid. This is an amazing story. apparently, one of the Yahoos on Newsmax, Newsmax host says he couldn't find an American Girl doll that looked like his daughter. He's white, by the way. Very white. Quote, my daughter is just a cute little six-year-old white girl. We couldn't find anybody that looked like my daughter. It was the whole place. It was like wokeified. Wokeified, his word, not mine. Okay.
Yes.
Look, let me tell you something. I don't know where Newsmax is located. I think it's New York.
It's pretty sure it's New York, like every other fucking media company.
Right. Makes sense, right? I've been to that American Girl doll store that he's talking about. I have been there. I have a three-year-old daughter. My wife and I spent 200 real money bucks and got a custom doll made that looks like my daughter, right? Going into that store, by the way, as a dad, I wanted to put a gun in my mouth. It was awful. It is the worst.
So that's your preferred method of execution. I mean, to be frog marched into an American Girl store to literally put a gun in your mouth.
And Fuck that. Nope. Get me my plane and let's head over to Madagascar right now. You can just push me out and shoot me on the way down. It's fine. No, it's the worst, right? Because it's just madness, right? It's madness. The little girls are having fun.
I'd imagine doll madness, and the only thing that's playing over the speakers in the store is Tom Petty's American Girl, just on loop, on constant repeat. Of course.
Please turn that off. No. Damn it. So here's the thing. This is what's maddening about this. The whole point, if you don't know American Girl dolls, and you... I pray that people don't.
sadly, just because I have a niece, like I am aware of this. It's basically like a Cabbage Patch doll with like a backstory that's like very Americana, essentially.
Right. So they have American Girl dolls have like, this is a doll from the 1920s. Her name's Susan, and she, you know, she stayed at home when men worked in the war, but she worked in the plants, and you know, it's like. And, you know, she joined a baseball team in a league of her own, right? Like, they have, like, little stories and they have little outfits, right? And then they have, like, a little Native American girl and they have, like, a little African girl. And they're all these different dolls, right? That's fine. And they represent different countries, different parts of history, everything else. It's great. I have known little white girls who've had American Girl dolls. And they're white, right? This is not an issue, right? It's not like, oh, when has anyone thought about white children? Like, that's all they thought about for a really long time. And they were like, oh, people of color spend money too. Make that doll brown, right? That's all fine and good. But that misses the one larger point here. And this is why I know he's bullshit. Again, we paid money for my daughter to have a doll that looked like her. That's a big part of the whole American Girl doll thing. It's like Build-A-Bear. You literally go up to a kiosk and I swear to God, I'm not lying about this. They have people who come around who are wearing doctor's coats, and they're called doll doctors. I swear I'm not making this up. And they help you use the screen to pick the different attributes, the create a character, right, of the doll.
Do you have to call them doctor? Like, do you be like, oh, hi, Dr. Amanda. Like, how's it going today?
They're dull.
How many people with actual PhDs were like, no, I'm not doing that.
Fuck off. I went to medical school. And they're like, well, I went to doll medical school. And I think I earned that title. God damn it. I am a doll. And you can also bring your dolls if they get hurt. You can bring your dolls and they will repair them. The doll doctors will do that as well. But so you make a custom doll. That's the whole point of American Girl, right? Like, is your kid goes in and goes, hey, this is what I look like. I've got long blonde straight hair or whatever. Or in my daughter's case, she's got curly, you know, curly hair. And you make the doll and then they literally mail the doll to you. So this idea of like it was wokeified. You just mean they had a variety of dolls? Like, that's the whole point of the company, is to appeal to all dolls or all little girls. It's called American Girl. Girls, in fact, come in different shades and sizes and looks. You fucking psycho. But that's dumb.
Like I said, I hear this, all you can think of is, what are all these Bort license plates doing here?
Like, what do you expect? Greg, it's really funny to me, like, that they've literally just made woke and wokeism, like, all it means now is not white. That's right. All it means now. Like, and to me, that is a really disturbing thing. And it just goes to show you how truly racist conservatives are. We need to get this woke stuff out of here. Well, what's woke? Like, they had an Indian doll. What the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Like, dude, they didn't tell you they didn't say, like, all American Girl dolls. Like, you walk in and all of a sudden, they're all African dolls. And you're like, there's no options for you, Susie. Get your white ass out of here. Like, no. There's fucking dolls for every kid. Like, it's really weird. Although, they should do that. Like, that would be awesome.
So again, like, I need all these free market conservatives to be, like, to stop getting shocked when companies and corporations like to do things that make them more money. Like, what about this don't you understand?
I don't get it. So here's the quote. I bring this back to, like, a serious point. Last week, a federal judge asked general counsel in this Ron DeSantis, like, case to define the word woke. So he is asking Ron DeSantis' lawyer, or the lawyer who represents Florida's government, to define what woke is. Right, since you want to ban it or whatever,
right? So they can't give the Fox Newsified version of the answer, because like this is a court proceeding,
right? You have to say, like, real normal shit, right? This is why the law is awesome, right? Because when you have real judges, they're like, what you're saying is bullshit. Like, you can't get that out of here, right? So the lawyer, again, representing Ron DeSantis and the government, this is their answer. He answers that woke is, quote, the belief there is a systemic injustices in American society and the need to address them, period. That's actually correct. What are you protesting then? That there are systemic injustices in America? Are we pretending that there aren't?
Yeah. Conservatives are.
Yeah.
Quite, like, it's literally in the name. Truth in advertising, my friend. We don't want to change anything. We like it just the way it is.
I love that.
The way it is, they mean, like, in 1955.
Right. And by the way, without
all the other things that made it cool in 1955, like, you know, strong economy and labor unions and stuff like that. No. Just the racism. Can we keep that stuff and not the other stuff?
Hell yeah, Brad. Come on. Like, I can't believe I'm on here, but I'm on the American Girl website. And they've got the Truly Me group. They've got a historical group. That's the, like, here's a black chick, here's a, you know, Native American, here's a, you know, a Mayan and, you know, East Asian character, right? Then they have the create your own, which is where you, you dumb fuck from Newsmax, could just get a doll made that looks like your daughter, who I hope doesn't look like you.
If I mean, Jay, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that he was just making the story up just to, and just coming out of a position of poor faith.
Right.
In this argument.
I agree. Well, it's really funny because someone commented to the story, it must be wild to get paid to make up fake stories about your interactions with your daughter at stores. Like, that's crazy to me. But yeah, I find it really fucking weird that he would go on television and lie and say that you can't get a white doll. I'm looking on the fucking website, dude. You can just click order.
It's easy to lie, Jay, when there's no consequences to doing so.
Yo, like that is one of the dumbest things to lie about. There's no white dolls in American doll, American Girl doll. That's right. Bitch, it's in New York. What the fuck is that?
You lie about this easily disprovable thing.
Right.
That, like, anyone can Google in 2 seconds.
That's like me coming on here and be like, hey guys, I know it sounds wild, but it's a true story. I went into Panera, no bread. Had no bread. Who the fuck believes that? Like, no, dude, you're lying. There is definitely bread, and it was probably a bowl, and they put soup in it, and it was delicious. And I was like, yeah, that's true.
It costs $15 now, but it still tastes really good.
Yeah, it was still good. I mean, come on. That shit was bad. But, like, that's no more as ludicrous as saying that this doll store, that literally their whole goal is to appeal to every little girl on planet Earth, don't have white dolls anymore. I don't know. Maybe if he's telling the truth, which I know he isn't, maybe that should be an indication that maybe they're sold out of white dolls because there's too many white kids buying them. Maybe. I don't know, guys. You're in Manhattan. There's a few white people there.
That's a good point. Good point you're raising there, too.
Yeah. Maybe there's just too... Yeah, maybe there's just too many white people. That's actually my fundamental. That's the crux.
What I hope is that he ordered one for his daughter, and when he gets there, it looks nothing like her, and the tag there says "Happy Holidays," and he just screams at the fucking ceiling like, "Oh, American Girl,
a lit doll!" I hope the doll shows up and it looks like AOC.
We say Merry Christmas again in this house.
Happy Holidays. That doesn't include Christmas, which is a holiday during the same time that people say it. I still will never understand getting mad about someone saying Happy Holidays. It's so weird. It's the most like hyper Christian centric thing I've ever heard.
It would have been more polite just to literally spit in their face instead of greeting them with Happy Holidays.
Yeah. Ugh, wow. Amazing. All right, that is it for us. Happy holidays, good Lord. Well, look,
holidays to all of you.
In the words
of Krusty the Clown, have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Crazy Kwanzaa, and a dignified Ramadan.
Dignified Ramadan. Impossible. All right, that is it for us. This is the last episode for the year. We're taking our classic 2 weeks off to be with family and so on and so forth. But we will be back after January 1st. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a new insurrection. I have no idea. You never know what's going to happen on the 6th.
Insurrection part 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's going to be great.
No, thank you. This time with more bullets. all right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next year.
See ya.